الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد ان سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وذكر فإن ذكر تنفع المؤمنين صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأزواجه وذرياته وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد الحمد لله وذكر من فضل of Allah سبحانه وتعالى we all spent the month of Ramadan. And one of the beautiful things about the way Allah SWT designed the Islamic calendar is right when Ramadan ends, right when Eid and Shawwal starts, people can begin to make the niyyah of Ihram and adopt the sacred state in order to make the journey and offer Hajj. Now in earlier times, people even used to make this journey before Ramadan, because it was truly the journey of a lifetime, and it would take maybe sometimes some people weeks or months to get there. So it made sense that if we're going to go so far, because at that point it felt very far, if we're going to go so far, might as well spend Ramadan there. And you can imagine then how prepared such a person was for Hajj, because they made niyyah to go, they made a long journey, so they underwent more sacrifice to go, they arrived there before Ramadan, then they live in Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwarah for all of Ramadan, all of Shawwal, all of Zikada, 3 months they're living and enjoying those places, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can imagine what a height and what a crescendo they must have reached when the first of Zulhijjah would have come, and then they would again have been making ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and finally on the 8th of Zulhijjah have gone to Mina. That's a very different way of making Hajj. And now, mashallah, person can go on super VVIP, shortest 13-day package, and they are on their cell phone all the way up to the airport. They're talking on the phone in the airport, they put ihram on, they land in Jeddah, they're taking pictures everywhere they go, they're on their cell phone, in 12 days they're back in the country. It's a very big difference. I know some of us are smiling, but I want you to reflect and really think about it. It's a huge difference. It's a huge difference. And maybe that's why. You know, an earlier time, today maybe using the word haji for somebody who comes back is really an exaggeration. But no doubt at earlier times when people would go by foot or by camel or by boat and go there and spend 4 to 6 months and then come back, I would expect that indeed probably their whole life truly was changed and transformed, and they were really such an entirely different person, and they really became a source of guidance and spirituality for their whole family and their whole community. So probably people would then add a word in front of them and say the word haji. But somebody who goes on the 12-day express package, and he comes back, and if he comes back exactly the same, and not really very much changed, there's no real sense in adding this extra title to our name. So the point is that there are ways of doing Hajj. Just like we experience there are ways of doing Ramadan. This is all from the fazl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are ways of praying salah. All of these fara'id, arkan, pillars and foundations of deen, really, if you, they have a bottomless depth, an infinite depth in which a person can perform them in terms of quality and use it to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hafiz ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that for some people, they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once a week, Salatul Jum'ah. Some people, they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once a year, month of Ramadan. And some people, they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, means from the bottom of their heart, once in their lifetime, and that is when they perform the fard hajj of their life. So it's something for us to reflect upon. Otherwise, for most people right now, hajj seems really far away. Because now in this day and age, you can't even get a visa so early. You can't get a hajj visa so early. But we must remember our deen. We are in hajj season. And this is itself an incredible mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right after Ramadan season ends, Hajj season starts. So I thought that, let me actually take this opportunity, because Jummah is a time and an occasion where we should try, all of us, all speakers of whatever background and whatever understanding, we should try to talk about the most powerful, deep, most broad concepts of deen.
And I think there's nothing more powerful, deeper, broader than the fara'id, than the things that Allah wants as mandatory. So let's talk a little bit about Hajj. Now obviously today, there are going to be three types of people who are here. One will be that type who will not be going for Hajj this year. Right? Myself and many of you may likely not be able to go for Hajj this year. Second type, there will be those who are going for their fard Hajj. And understand that very carefully. Hajj is a fard Hajj, is a once in a lifetime opportunity. You know, if you don't pray a good fard salah, then a few hours later you'll get another chance to pray a better fard salah. If you didn't pray Fajr well today, if you live, tomorrow you can get another chance to pray Fajr well. If you didn't fast the first fast of Ramadan well, if you live another year, you might get another chance to do so. And most people in their book of deeds will have many Salah and many Ramadan. But Fard Hajj is a one shot. If you ever go later, it's not Fard. Fard Hajj is once in a lifetime opportunity. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So if anybody's going on that journey or has any friend or colleague or neighbor or any acquaintance, this is the first thing you must tell them, that this is a one-shot opportunity. Imagine if I told you that about Salah, you get to pray Jummah once in your life. Can you imagine the ihtimam, the care with which you would prepare for that Jummah, how carefully you would spend time on that Jummah? You say, there's only one chance I have to fill this column. Now yes, if a person goes Hajj later, obviously, Fard Hajj is fulfilled as long as you offered it according to the conditions that make it legally valid. After that, what is the intention to go? So that's the third type of person who might be here today, who is going for Hajj, but they've already done their Fard Hajj, they're going again. The only reason to go again is because you want to get those feelings again. The only reason to go again is because you feel there was some lack or lapse in you since you last went. You cannot keep going every year just out of habit or just out of ritual, because that's a very dangerous thing. And there are some people who go every year and then they get numb to it. How do we define numb? They're unchanged by it. They don't change every year. So what does that mean? You've made your heart in such a way that you can go to Makkah Mukarramah, you can go to Mina, Arafah, Muzdalifah, Medina Munawwarah and still not change, and you do that every year, that should scare you. It should scare you. But yes, if a person feels that, well, you know, when I did Hajj, maybe I didn't do it with the highest quality. Or maybe, alhamdulillah, I did my fard Hajj well, but a few years have passed, and I found myself sliding spiritually. And Ya Allah, I need that same mercy that you sent upon me in Arafah. I need that same qurb, that same nearness I got to in Tawaf. I need that again, so I'm coming again. That could be a niyat with which a person can go again. Then even for those of us who are staying and going, there are some teachings in Qur'an al-Kareem. So let me start with that. Allah SWT has mentioned three things in Qur'an that a person, when they adopt the state of ihram, they should not do that. Alright? Rafath, fisk, and jadal, jadal, mujadala. What are these three things? Rafas means any impure, crude, lewd, immodest, shameless act which betrays your chastity. Any unlawful, lustful, romantic feeling. Anything to do with ghair mahram, any fantasizing, desiring, wanting, daydreaming. All of that comes in that. That these are things that are not permissible anyway, but it bears for us to reflect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically says if you want to come on Hajj, you've got to leave that. You've got to leave that. But that's something we're supposed to leave all the time. Why specifically for Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives extra emphasis? Because Hajj is a journey of love. Hajj is a journey of remembering who your true beloved is, Mahbubi Hakiki, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hajj is to try to restore the feelings of true love in your heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because Allah ta'ala knows as best He knows, that what is it that's keeping us from being Allah Ta'ala's true lover? What is it that's keeping us from accepting Allah only as our truest beloved? It's some other false, unlawful love that we have in our heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Hidayah, His guidance, is telling the person who's making niyyah to go on Hajj, you've got to leave all this. You've got to shed all of this. You have to divest yourself of all of this if you want to be successful on your Hajj. And that's something for those of us who aren't going, we should also make that niyyah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, I'm not even able to go. at least that other person is going, he will get that incredible barakat and blessings that are there in the journey. Me, I'm staying behind, so I'm actually less than them. And I need this even more. That's how a person should think if they're not going. It's an incredible time of reflection. You know, there was a shaykh in India. Some of you may have heard his name. His name was Shaykh Hussain Ahmad Madni rahimahullah ta'ala. And at one point in his life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him that for 18 years, he was Ustad al-Hadith, he was Muhaddith, he was the teacher of Hadith inside Masjid al-Nabawi in Medina Munawwara in his time. But then later there was a time in his life when he would return back to India, right? And he used to miss those places so much. So whenever it was the time of Hajj, the season of Hajj, and especially Ayyam, the particular days of Hajj, 8, 9, 10, 11, etc., Zulhijjah, he would just be in a total other zone. And all the time he would be talking to people, oh, people must be making the Atab Ihram, oh, people must be making the journey, oh, people must have landed in Jeddah, oh, people must be going to Makkah Mukarramah, oh, people must be going to Mina, people must be going to Arafat. And that's an important thing for those of us who don't go. We should have that feeling. We should ride that wave of emotion. We should tap into what's going on in real time at that time. You know, just imagine, like if you had your parent, father, mother who might be there, or your brother or sister was there, right? So you would be thinking about it. And again, in more pure times, you wouldn't be getting real-time updates on WhatsApp. You would just have to sit with your family at night, and you would talk about it. That, oh, our mom is probably leaving for Mina right now. Our mom is probably making dua for us in Arafat right now. This is how we would talk if a close family member was going, right? So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in Quran? إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى. That indeed the believers are but brethren to one another. All the believers are one big family to one another. So our one, two, I don't know how many million will go this year. That's how we should feel. So you should tap into that feeling at that time. To be aware of that feeling at that time. Scar is mentioning to you the three things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that the person who adopts the state of ihram should not do. So the first was rafath, should not do any impure thought or let alone impure deed. Second, fisk, fujur, should not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. It's very interesting, you cannot be a slave while being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose this word for us, abd. It's a very special word. It means slave. To who is an abd? Number one, to be a slave, you have to have a master. Alhamdulillah, Allah ta'ala malik, as the word he chose for himself, malik yawmiddin. He's malik, and we are abd. How can you reaffirm your identity as the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abd on Hajj if you still disobey? Just leave it. Leave all disobedience. But again, that's the same lesson for me and you, somebody who's not going. It's the same lesson for us. If we want to be the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must once and for all and forever entirely stop disobeying Him in every sense. Third thing, jadal, mujadala. It means argumentation, disputation, wrangling, harassing, arguing with other human beings. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a simple lesson that look, if you want to come to me on Hajj and you want to have this journey and you want to patch up with me and you want to be beloved to me, you've got to disentangle your messy relations with creation. You have to sort all that stuff out. You have to detangle yourself from creation if you want to be connected to the Creator. There's also a mercy in this, which is what? If you fix your relationships with makhluk, Allah Ta'ala will fix His relationship, your relationship with Him. He's your khaliq. So that's the easy way. Many of us, we have difficulty fixing our relationship with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So Allah says, look, you fix your relationship with makhluk, I will fix your relationship with me. If you're coming on Hajj, sort everything out. Make niyat that you will change. Make niyat that you will become a soft, gentle, peaceful person who can live in harmony. You know, many times Muslims, they love to talk about this. That Islam means peace, right? But how can, there's a hypocrisy in saying that. If we are not at peace and harmony with our fellow members of our family, if we don't have peace and harmony inside our own ummah, how in the world with a straight face can we make this claim to the world that Islam means peace? We're not even living peaceful lives. Another problem. So many families plagued by divorce. And in this country, you know, Every time I come, I tell myself not to say anything like this. Oh, one or two people are watching me. Huh? What can I do? I think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts these things in our heart because maybe as a traveler, as a foreigner, as a guest, I can say things more frankly than some of your resident ulama can. Yes? Huh? Huh? You have a lot of divorce in this country. You have more divorce in this country than we have in the American Muslim community. UK is in between, right? These are at least three countries that I know fairly well, right? But the thing that surprises me here is that the reasons for the divorce here are ajeeb. In fact, there's many times it's without reason. It's absent to the point of absurd and nonsensical. It's what we call fitna. Like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said one of the signs of the end of time is somebody will kill someone and the one who is killing will not know why he killed the person and the one being killed will not know why they were killed. Now I will do qiyas on that. And now beyond that, you have another fitna here in this country that there's divorce taking place and I try to figure out the one divorcing doesn't know why he divorced and the one who was divorced doesn't know why she was divorced. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Ajeeb. Then there's no hope for the counselor, there's nothing to even begin with. It begins and ends in the sheer absurd. Allahu Akbar Kabira. It's a big problem, big problem. And again, from a community of mashallah, praise Salah, who builds masajid and makatib and darlooms and goes on Umrah and does relief work and charity work in Africa and Palestine and mashallah, so many other great, great, good, good, wonderful, wonderful attributes. But when it comes right at the home, deep at the home, your spouse, their person is making a mistake. She should understand, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to train the people when they're going for Hajj. That you know, when you want to go on Hajj, you're making a niyyah that you want to change your life. You want to repent and ask Allah to forgive you for all past mistakes. You're making an intention that in the future I never want to make a mistake again. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also teaching us, yes, from now on there should be no further room for mistakes. If you come with that intention, Allah says, I will send you back from Arafat as pure as when you were newly born baby. Allahu Akbar Kabira. This is the niyyah that a person should make. Now whether any one of us is going or not, we should tap into this time. This is an incredible time. Ramadan, Shawwal, Zikada, Zulhijjah. It's another 4 months, intensive course by Allah to put all these features in deen. But a lot of us, so many people have even forgotten Ramadan. For so many people, the effects of Ramadan has already worn off on them. Even the Shawwal hasn't even ended. You think at least it would take 1 month of laziness to undo 1 month of effort. It should take 1 month of slack to undo 1 month. No, no, no. 1 month of Ramadan, and I'm talking about the person who fasted all day, 10, 12, 14 hours, however long you fasted, and prayed Taraweeh every night, 1-2 hours of extra worship. They did that for 30 days, and maybe just 10 days of Shawwal was enough to wipe it off. And this is also a lesson for you, that it's not because you sinned in these 10 days. You know, many people think that, no, as long as I don't sin, but I can engage in the ghafla. I can engage in the ghafla. I'll explain to you what that is. I can engage in the ghafla and it won't cause a problem for me. Ghafla means that which is technically, strictly, legally permissible, but has no value, no purpose in for your akhirah. And has no element of zikrullah, has no remembrance of Allah ta'ala, no connection to Allah ta'ala in this world. That is called ghafla. Purely futile, pointless, vain, idle pursuits. But many people, they say, in the first week of Shawwal, I didn't do sin. But I just returned to my newspaper. I just returned to my email. I just returned to my cell phone. I just returned to my random hobbies and pastimes. And that's it. Within 7 days, I feel my spiritual condition has gone down. So we say, now accept it. That ghafla is a problem. And listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Quran, وَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. And don't you ever let yourself be from those people who forget Allah. That's all that happened. Alhamdulillah, maybe there was somebody who sinned in these 7-10 days of Shawwal. In that case, it's clear the sin is the reason why we fell down. But you'll find a lot of people, they didn't really commit a sin. But they say, I'm so different now from where I was in Ramadan. Ghafla. It's that lifestyle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. You know what happens in Ramadan? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us. shows an ordinary, non-muttaqi, non-salih mu'min what it would be like, a 1 month taste and experience, what would life be like if you were an abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abd, because for 10-12 hours you obey Allah ta'ala and you keep the fast. That's pure obedience, pure slavehood. You get to experience what life is like an abd. Abid, if you pray Taraweeh, you make some extra dua at the time of Surah Iftar, you read more Quran. Pretty much everybody at least went up relative to themselves. They did more ibadah in Ramadan than they did before. So 1 month they got to live as abd, and 1 month they got to live as abid. Allah ta'ala showed not just what it feels like, Allah ta'ala also showed us you can do it. You can do it if you want. Don't think muttaqeen is some other category, salihin is some other category, and me, I'm going to live my ordinary life. Allah ta'ala, let us experience it. Not for 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 30 days and night. We should spend Shawwal drowning in the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should spend the month of Shawwal holding on to it, holding steadfast. We should more desperately be coming to the masjid for Fajr Salah in this month than we even did in Ramadan, because in Ramadan we did it. You see, anything in this world, one is the passion and the care with which you acquire something, and the second is the passion and care with which you retain something. When you keep something that you worked hard to acquire, that's called qadr. That means you value it, you appreciate it. So Ramadan was the month of effort, and Allah Ta'ala's bestowal, His inayah, karam, fazl, He gives and we took. And Shawwal is the time where we keep it, and we don't want to lose it. And it's something for us to reflect about. Somebody says, yeah, I don't read Quran anymore. So, okay, why? He says, I don't know. I don't know. You don't have no answer. Many don't even ask the question. They don't even ask the question why. They're just happy, sliding back into the ghafil lives. They're not even wondering. They used to come with great care for salah, to the masjid for salah. Now they just feel lazy, but they don't ask why. It's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is our big problem. We don't know how to take care of these gifts. Like what I told you earlier, a person goes on hajj, he comes back and he slips back, he remains unchanged. He couldn't retain the gift of hajj. Imagine that person who retained the nur of Ramadan, then they retained the nur of Hajj, then they retained the nur of every single salah. Even Salatul Jummah, you know this? One Salatul Jummah, one Yawmul Jummah has so much nur, so much barakah, so much power in it, that if we were to connect to it properly, truly, deeply, one Jummah is enough to make us into Muttaqi Salih Mu'min. That's the power of deen. Allah has put power on these ibadah. But we don't tap into it. We don't tap into it. Imagine that person now. Every time they pray salah, they get the nur, qurb with Allah Ta'ala. And then they pray another salah, then they get more. They pray another salah, they get more. They pray Jummah, they get a high. They go Ramadan, they get a high. And they don't turn back to sin. They just keep going, keep going, keep going. Then a person like that, truly, when they hit 40, 50, 60 years old, they would be such a spiritually blessed person. Those people were then called akabir. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he said in a Hassan hadith, al barakatu ma'akabirikum. That barakah, blessing, lies in sitting with your elders. But what did he mean? It didn't mean strictly by age. He meant those who have grown old in deen. Those who grow old spend years and years in salah and Ramadan, and they retain the nur of those ibadat. So by the time 20, 30, 40 years passes, they are truly spiritually blessed individuals. And then they were the ones who would guide the families, guide the communities, resolve the disputes, settle the problems. Now we have very few people like that. We may have individuals who are 50s and 60s in terms of their age, but they're not able to resolve anybody's disputes or settle anybody's problems. They don't have that. And me and you are going fast in that same direction. We are in our 40s, we're no better than the people in their 20s. All of us, all the same. All the same. Unaffected, because we keep losing the blessings of our ibadat when we fall into ghafla or we return back to sin. Allahu Akbar Kabira. It's a cheap time we live in. A cheap time we live in. Here, I was informed there's nikah today, before Jummah. So we will have to end a little bit, I think 5 minutes earlier than what you normally end at in this masjid. But we should make dua. And this last thing I would say is that we should, you know, just like Ramadan was a time of dua, the whole season of Hajj, but especially those 10 days of Zulhijjah, and even afterwards is a time of dua. And especially 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th Zulhijjah, you should feel it. It doesn't even matter whether the moon is sighted here one day before, one day after. That's a separate thing. I won't change the calendar dating system. But when the Hujjaj are standing there in Arafah, irrespective of what date it might be here, but you should feel it. You should be, your heart should be with them. You should feel that they're there. You should feel that 2, 3, 4, Allahu A'lam, how many million of my fellow mu'mineen, mu'minat, brethren are begging Allah Ta'ala for mercy, and you should add your du'as on that day. You should make du'as for Allah Ta'ala's rahmah and maghfirah for ourselves, and that Allah Ta'ala accepts them. You should be rooting them onward with your du'as, and making du'as all the time that Allah Ta'ala accept the hajj of every one of the hujjaj, every one of their du'as, every niyyah that they make when they go, every good resolve and intention they make when they're there, and Allah Ta'ala take them there with safety and security, keep them there with safety and security, keep their ahl o ayal, their family that they leave behind in safety and security, that Allah Ta'ala brings them back in safety and security. This is our job. We are on that team. We're not going to be able to go on Hajj. We are on the team who will make dua for the Hujjaj, who will make zikr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will make ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if we were there. And if the ummah can get this feeling of unity with one another and the spirit of Hajj, the feelings of Hajj, then great things can happen, inshallah. We make dua to Allah, accept this niyat from us and for all of you, and may Allah enable us to make duas for one another in every time of the year, and may Allah accept the Hajj of all of those who will go. Wa akhiru da'wana. الحمد لله رب العالمين